Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Magic Lost by Ashley Mira. Narrated by Beth Nichols. Chapter 1. They were getting close. That was the only thought on my mind as I rushed through the streets of Paris, a herd of soulless vultures hot on my trail. Since the Seraphine debacle a few weeks ago, these things had been after me with a thirst that would make the most vicious of vampires pale. Being a trained mercenary didn't make a difference. No matter where I went, there they were, lurking, waiting for the perfect opportunity to strike. True to form, their hungry faces greeted me as I rounded the corner. Acting fast, I slipped into a nearby patisserie, casting a longing look at the displayed pastries before rushing into the kitchen and out the back door. Outraged cries followed after me. Fortunately, my hunters appeared oblivious to the nasty words being thrown my way. Whoever said French people were delicate romantics had clearly never interrupted them while they were garnishing their tarts. The streets were dark for such a sunny day, but I took the shadows for the gift they were. Pulling up my hood, I headed in the opposite direction of my latest herd of followers. Resignation filled me as I realized it didn't make much of a difference where I went. They were everywhere. Vanilla coated my tongue, and if it weren't for the soothing scent of pine that followed, I would have thought it a byproduct of walking past yet another bakery. I entered the store and perused the goods, casting a furtive look through the clear glass for any sign of my partner. That was the term I'd settled on for Adam. As comfortable as I'd grown calling him my Adam, the awkward pause threw people off, and I couldn't be bothered to wait for them to acclimate or suffer through their prodding about what I meant. Boyfriend also felt awkward, if only for the smug looks he and all my friends gave me when I tried using it. Shame my stalkers weren't present for that. They could have written an article about how I nearly killed everyone around me. I pulled down my hood and smiled at the friendly woman behind the counter, though my eyes were fixed on the handsome man I'd found outside. His dark brown hair looked like warm chocolate under the Parisian sun, and I heard myself mumbling a request for a chocolate croissant in broken French. Clear gray eyes met my tense brown ones, chasing my worries away for a moment. Despite the horde of voracious hunters dancing around, Adam didn't seem bothered at all. Lights flashed from all sides as they surrounded him, their fingers moving at a breakneck pace. I tore my gaze away before they could follow his line of sight to me. With a quick thanks to the clerk, I took my croissant and once again tried to blend in with the crowd. He claimed they didn't bother him much, and that he was sorry I had to go through this. I didn't know what he had to feel bad about. I was the one who'd come into his life. Wait. No, that wasn't true. He'd come into mine, looking to hire me for a job. Something about my dry sarcasm and constant threats of death must have impressed him, because he decided I was worth sticking around for. I had no idea why, but after dealing with the magical community's upper class the way I had, the answer should have been obvious. Rich people were weird. Why else would he stick around after I made it clear that I was no good? He was Adam freaking Pierce, heir to a seat on the Council of Magic and uber-billionaire extraordinaire. I wondered how he would react if I got him a set of business cards with that printed on them. The chocolate chips coating the croissant melted against my tongue, and I took a moment to bask in culinary joy before letting the bad thoughts back in. Mainly, the Council of Magic. They'd been boogeymen in my life as long as the actual boogeyman in my life, and I was dating one of their future VIPs. But they were on the back burner of my concerns right now. I made the mistake of looking around and caught the eye of one of them. I ducked my head back down, but I'd forgotten to replace my hood when I exited the bakery, and he recognized me instantly. His greedy nature favored me as I took off down the cobblestone streets. He wanted the bounty all for himself, so the only sign he gave of my location was the constant flashing of his obnoxious implements as he chased after me. I hurried down the path, stuffing my half-eaten croissant back in its paper bag. His kind weren't allowed indoors, but I couldn't be sure of my safety there either. Paris wasn't a magical city, but supernatural creatures did frequent it. There was a chance I'd be recognized. Strong hands gripped my arm and pulled me into an alley. I dropped, letting him support all my weight. The suddenness caught my attacker off guard, and I took the chance to elbow him in the gut. Adrenaline pumping through me, I whipped around and threw a kick. My attacker dodged, the action giving me a moment to take in his appearance.
"I'm starting to get the hang of your moves," he said, dusting himself off.
I bit back my guilt and told him, "You're supposed to be some kind of genius. Shouldn't you have figured out my moves a long time ago?" Adam grinned, the action lighting up his handsome face. My heart fluttered at the sight, but I blamed it on the croissant. Nothing needed that much butter and chocolate. I paused and thought of my steady diet of mac and cheese, pizza, cake, pie, and coffee. Okay, maybe I wasn't the best judge of what constituted too much unhealthy stuff. Still, gotta give me points for being consistent with my eating habits.
"Are you okay?"
he asked. I rolled my eyes as the guilt welled back up. He was asking me if I was okay after I elbowed him. It was considerate crap like this that made me fall for him in the first place. And despite loving that about him, I refused to like it. "Are you?" I asked, resisting the urge to run my hands down his torso. That was the last thing I needed to be caught doing. "Are they gone?"
"I'm fine. And probably not."
He wrapped an arm around my waist and led me toward the street, rolling his eyes at my constant head turning.
"Sweetheart, don't you think you're overreacting? They're just reporters."
I glared at him. Reporters covered important things. Wars, famine, the latest political scandal. These were not reporters. They were vultures, trying to get exclusive pictures of Adam Pierce and his new girlfriend. A term he insisted on using despite my numerous threats to hurt him. I should have known. Threats of violence only turned him on. My glare faded as I noticed the look in his eyes. I'd gotten good at that, reading Adam's unseen expressions. The man could be a brick wall, so it was a talent that served me well. Like now, when it told me to hold my tongue because there was discomfort in his eyes. Discomfort and guilt, because those reporters were only after me because of him. "I like my privacy," I said, trying to rein in my dour expression. "But that's not the point. The photographers aren't the issue. It's who might see their photos that worries me. Like Nicholas Ryder, the man who'd kidnapped me and my sister when we were children. The man who beat us and branded us and forced us to kill people with our magic. The man we'd escaped from, only to run into him again when he summoned Seraphine, a creature powerful enough to drown the entire world. Or so I assumed. That's what the story said. Though her silence these past few weeks had shown me otherwise. But if there was anything I'd learned recently, it was that things could turn belly up and ruin your life in a split second. Like bumping into the monster you'd spent your whole life running from. Or being found by said monster because he saw your picture in witch mode next to this season's hottest new trends.
"You're right,"
he said, planting a kiss on my forehead.
"I'm sorry."
"You don't need to be sorry." I wrapped my arms around him, partly to be closer to him, and partly to obscure my face from any cameras. "It's not your fault I'm fucked up." He frowned.
"You're not fucked up."
No, I was fireborn, which was pretty much the same thing by today's standards. Fireborns were mages descended from dragons, or phoenixes, that had the ability to naturally absorb any magic that touched them. The magic they absorbed boosted their power, allowing them to grow stronger when, say, hit by a rival mage or breaking into a magical safe. Sounded harmless enough, right? Maybe a little concerning, but nothing worth going to war over. Except the magic absorption came with a high, a sense of pleasure so euphoric most fireborns became hooked on the feeling. The more magic absorbed, the bigger the high. It made you feel invincible, like a god. It was the best feeling in the world. And the crash was the worst. A lot of fireborns can't stand it and go mad, doing whatever they can to get more magic. There were stories that fireborn were horrible monsters who locked up innocent mages, absorbed their magic, then waited for that magic to replenish before sapping it again and again. Those stories were told by the Council of Magic, who sent inquisitors after the slightest hint of fireborn presence. Inquisitors were tracker mages of the highest caliber, and were ordered to arrest any suspected fireborn. They were also given a green light to execute any Fireborn who resisted arrest, or who they deemed too much of a threat. I wasn't sure which was worse, getting killed for the sin of being born, or getting thrown in the Black Citadel, the magical world's prison, doomed to spend a lifetime in shackles. I've managed to keep a lid on most of these reports, Adam said as we continued walking. What I can't keep from the press, I have my hackers edit. The photos end up blurred, so the hottest rumor around is that I'm dating a possibly brunette blob. Thank you. I squeezed him, truly grateful for all he was doing. It would have been so easy for him to let me go, but he stuck by me. He'd accepted me, despite everyone in his world claiming my kind were evil monsters. And now he was trying to protect me. How did I get so lucky? Wait, hackers? He remained quiet for a moment, avoiding my gaze. Technical consultants. My brows furrowed. Of course a multinational company like Pierce Incorporated had hackers. It probably said technical consultant on their records, too. I decided not to look it in the mouth. He was helping me, and if those consultants ever decided to hack a couple million into my bank account, I wasn't going to complain about that either. Not that I'd ever ask. With anyone else, I'd have brought it up as a joke, but Adam was liable to take me seriously. He wouldn't steal money, but he'd give me his own. A few million was a drop in the bucket for him, which was exactly why I'd never bring it up. My sister and I had been taking care of ourselves for the past 8 years, and we were still capable of doing so now. Speaking of my sister, were you able to find the shop? I asked. I didn't have any luck.
I've known where it was the entire time, sweetheart.
He paused to smirk at my outraged glare.
I just wanted to take in the sights with you. This is the city of love, after all.
I didn't let his mention of the L word throw me off. We spent a week in Nice, which is less than an hour away with your jet. Granted, we spent most of our time doing hardcore magic training. I'd gotten to the point where I thought I had enough power to destroy the world, but I mostly blamed that on Adam hitting me with so much magic. Spending my evenings hurling into his expensive toilets as my hide died down reminded me to temper my expectations. The only reason we were here now was because Fiona, my sister, begged me to pick her up some chocolate they only made in this one shop in the entire world. Which I thought was a lie, because the shop was magical, and almost all magical shops had an original store in a magical city. A store which, according to Adam and a very insistent Fiona, was now closed, leaving only the Paris branch. I took a deep breath. I'm going to assuage my anger by reminding myself that Ollie is going to make amazing desserts with the chocolate I'm bringing back. Ollie was one of my best friends, and the greatest cook I'd ever met. He owned a cafe back home. Once he heard I was going to Paris for Fiona, he'd placed his own order for me to fill.
So, no punching?
Adam made a show of frowning and wiping his eyes. How about I smother you in your sleep instead? He tapped his chin thoughtfully.
What will you be wearing when you smother me? And what will you be smothering me with? We're here, by the way.
I was so focused on glaring holes into his skull that I didn't bother looking at the store as he guided me inside. Once I did, however, my jaw dropped, and all my anger was wiped away. This settled it. Literally everything was bigger than my house. In fact, with all this chocolate here, I was one bed away from moving in. It didn't even need to be a nice bed. I was okay with a cot in the corner, as long as I could eat for free. My eyes roamed the displays, and I choked back a gasp. I'd definitely need to eat for free, because these prices were insane. Fiona had warned me things would be pricey, and more importantly, had promised to pay me back. But geez.
My treat, Adam whispered in my ear.
No, I said firmly. The lavish homes we stayed in, after being flown around on his private jet, were enough. Not to mention all the dinners he'd paid for. Fiona and Ollie are paying me back. And I was pretty sure I had one valid credit card left. He shrugged.
Then I'm treating them. And you.
Pursing my lips, I tried to think of a way to tell him no without being rude. Well, more rude than usual. It became clear to him pretty quickly how uncomfortable his wealth made me. We'd had a discussion about it that left me, and probably him, unsatisfied. I felt bad taking his money, and he felt bad not being able to do nice things for me because the cost made me feel bad. It was a vicious, though perfectly formed cycle. I'd been trying to be more open to his kindness, and trying even harder not to call it charity, but it was a steep hill. In this case, the treacherously tantalizing aroma of chocolate helped things along, and I found myself nodding with less discomfort than usual. Prying my eyes away from the macadamia pralines, I forced my attention to my phone, where a list of chocolate was waiting. I need to get everything for Ollie and Fiona first, I said. Pretty sure I'll have forgotten my own name by the time I leave here.
I'll do it, he said, taking the phone from me.
It wasn't quite asking, but at least he'd given me a warning this time. Before I could mention that, he leaned over to whisper in my ear.
They give out samples.
Quick as lightning, I gripped his face and pulled it down to mine. Our lips crashed together as I ran my thumbs over his cheekbones. They were almost more delicious than the confections surrounding us. I had a bad habit of randomly acting on my affection for him, so Adam froze on impact before getting into it. Guess he was getting the hang of my moves. I heard a polite cough before someone behind us gasped and shushed our would-be interrupter.
Adam Peels, came out in a hushed whisper
before both clerks went quiet, leaving us to our PDA. As much as I loved kissing Adam, I enjoyed not being beet red more. He was beaming when I pulled away and fanned my reddened cheeks. This is what happens when I stop paying attention to my surroundings, I mumbled at the floor.
Feel free to do it more often, sweetheart.
Adam placed a final kiss on my cheek.
Now, go have some fun.
Chapter 2.
I had a lot of fun. What wasn't fun was the plane ride home, because I had to keep myself from eating all the chocolate we were bringing back. Delicacies like this needed to be savored, not wolfed down. I licked the roof of my mouth, tasting the remnants of those praline samples, and whimpered pathetically.
I'm guessing that whimper isn't because we just landed,
Adam asked, handing my bag over. Surrendering it, more like. I had to wrestle the luggage from his perfect, gentlemanly hands.
If you want to eat.
No, I said firmly. You paid a lot for these, and I'm going to enjoy them at a nice, leisurely pace.
I can always send people to buy more.
I raised a brow.
That was the wrong thing to say, wasn't it?
Not wrong, I said with a shake of my head. Just extravagant. That was another part of our deal. While I was trying to be more accepting of his lavishness, I also had to point out when he bordered on the excess. For a regular person, at least. This stuff was normal to our society's upper class. He wouldn't have suggested it otherwise. Our trip to Ollie's Cafe, the Golden Cat, went smoothly. We even managed to get a few kisses in between traffic stops. I'd compare us to honeymooners if the very thought didn't send all the blood to my head, along with an extra dollop of embarrassment. Fiona told me this was a normal feeling when entering a new relationship, so I tried not to think too much of it. Adam flashed me a smile when he noticed I was staring, and I couldn't help the huge, goofy grin I gave in return. I tried, but usually failed. Sadly, all happy times came to an end. In our case, it was because of the sea of reporters loitering in the street between Ollie's Cafe and Damien's gallery. Damien was Adam's younger brother, so they must have been trying to double down on their bets. Luckily for them, the establishments were less than 10 minutes apart. How easy would it be for you to get a murder charge dropped? I asked.
I'm not running them over, he said flatly. And neither are you.
Spoil sport? The cafe's curtains were open, allowing me to see how crowded it was. Not with reporters, thankfully, but with trend followers, who'd heard this place was one of Adam Pierce's favorite haunts. Most of them had been polite enough not to disturb us while we were there. The ones who weren't got thrown out by Ollie, who was surprisingly menacing for such a twiggy dude. I took in the warm interior, cozy booths, and soft garland lights with a frown. Ollie would have to close the curtains when we came in. Since photographers started coming around, we'd moved from our usual spot by the window to a more private corner near the back. That didn't stop them from trying to take pictures, however, and the usual street view clients had was replaced by a bunch of obnoxious, half-shaven faces pressing their cameras against the windows. It made me feel like crap to be affecting my friend's business this way, but I didn't dare mention that in front of Adam. He felt bad enough over this as it was. I'd apologized to Ollie in private, but he'd scoffed and brushed it off before telling me not to be a dummy. Adam's voice pulled me from my thoughts.
I'm going to have to say hi later.
Work? I asked, looking down at his unlocked phone. Adam had moved to Santa Fe, one of the biggest magical cities in California, and my home for the last 3 years, to take over his father's position as CEO of Pierce Incorporated. Why he came here was a mystery, because his father had run things fine from England. But when I asked, he made a joke about fate putting us together, forcing me to fake a scowl. He nodded and leaned over. I met him halfway. Warmth seeped into me as we kissed, the piranhas outside long forgotten. His tongue swiped against my lips, and I let him in. We wrestled for dominance of my mouth before I surrendered with a nip to his lower lip.
Keep that up, and I'll never make it to work, he said in a husky voice.
I wanted to tell him to drive us back to his place, but forced myself to accept he had other responsibilities beside making me feel good. Plus, the photographers had taken notice of his car, and while the windows were blacked out from the outside, the thought of exiting into a huge crowd made my stomach twist. Best to leave before they fully gathered. With one last peck, I pulled my hood up and exited the car. It took all my patience, plus some I had to borrow from a future life, to get out of Adam's car, go toward the trunk, pull my bags out, and not violently murder the dozen or so jerks who thought bumping into me and shoving a flashing camera against my retinas was going to get them an exclusive. I stumbled into Ollie's cafe and fell in a crumpled heap before the entrance. Apparently, pictures of my ass sticking up after being shoved inside by a wave of douchebags was picture-worthy, because the flashes went into overdrive. The curtains were quickly pulled shut, and nearby patrons gave me a sympathetic look. I recognized them as regulars and felt my face flush once more as I realized they'd taken seats near the windows to help shut the curtains faster. Thanks, I said sheepishly, unable to meet their eyes.
Don't know why you're thanking them, Fiona said, giving the patrons a wink to show she was joking.
All this proves is that Ollie has an army of loyal minions he can ask to do his bidding. I directed an unimpressed look in her fairy glamour direction before saying, like going to Paris to pick you up some hoity-toity chocolate? She huffed, her red hair bouncing along with the movement.
You can only say that if you didn't buy any for yourself.
I pursed my lips. Adam paid for everything.
Still counts, she said, beaming.
Guess we were both glad I was loosening up about being, as she put it, pampered.
Give me the goods, sister.
I don't suppose you brought some for the rest of us.
Simeon's aristocratic drawl called from the counter. How had I missed him? I guess the smell of incense his magic carried wasn't as noticeable when rabid vultures were swarming me. Simeon called himself my patron, which I no longer bothered to fight him on. He was an esteemed collector and dealer of ancient rarities, who hired me to help retrieve particularly difficult-to-find objects. He paid well, and despite his eccentricities, I'd grown rather fond of him. Usually.
Why are you here? I asked, glaring at the way his sleek black hair glistened in the light.
I looked like a hurricane survivor, and Mr. Siren over there was flaunting his perfect, ocean-blessed hair.
Picking up coffee,
he said as if it were obvious. You never do that in person. You have people for that, I said. Simeon was also part of the magical elite, though his fortune was self-made rather than inherited.
Are you sure I don't just come by when you're not around? Oh, what am I saying? If you're not on the job, you're here.
He sighed dramatically.
Darling, you're going to die of overeating one of these days.
It had been almost 3 weeks since Simeon had warned us about Seraphine's awakening and lent us the extremely valuable artifacts we needed to stop her, which meant he was just about past his grace period, and I was free to kick his couture ass.
If you're going to kill him, wait until he pays Ollie.
I followed the melodic voice to our new usual booth, Apart from a slight tiredness to her ocean blue eyes, Adrian appeared to be fully recovered from her ordeal of almost being eaten by Seraphine. She gave me a welcoming smile as our gazes met. Unlike Simeon and his big mouth, I could appreciate Adrian's beauty without being jealous. Okay, I couldn't, but I'd never wanted to punch her. No murders in my shop. Ollie swept in from the kitchen, balancing a dangerous amount of plates that he served with practiced grace. Please kill each other far enough away for the authorities to leave me out of their questioning, but close enough for them to stop by for lunch. Fiona and I exchanged looks and said, He gets this from you. He gets it from both of you, Simeon said. Ollie rolled his eyes and stepped behind the counter to finish ringing up Simeon's order. Sorry for the delay. No worries. Simeon paid for his order, then sauntered over to our table with a challenging look in my direction. I think I'll be staying a bit, actually. You're not getting to me. I sighed and plopped down next to him, Fiona taking the seat across from me. Getting? He clasped his hands over his chest, his expression flat. Couldn't I just miss you? Try ensorcelling those reporters, Ollie said. She'll love you. Being a siren allowed Simeon to ensorcel people, usually causing them to go mad and kill themselves in horrific ways. Normally I'd be protesting, but the thought of every reporter out there spontaneously vomiting up their kidneys was kind of appealing at the moment. Still, I decided to be mature and pull Simeon back down when he moved to go outside. I do not want to think about those people right now. Poor dear. Simeon patted my head. Would you like a hug? The last time you hugged me, you grabbed my butt, I said flatly. I did no such thing, he said, looking affronted. I cupped it. Speaking of things you want, Ollie eyed Simeon with a protective glint in his eye. Despite being the same age, he fancied himself an older brother to me. I don't serve steak tartare, sorry. Ollie was a green wit on his mother's side, allowing him to instinctively know what people want. This was only related to homey things, however, like food and drink. His heritage was also what made him such a competent potion maker and chef. I'll live, Simeon said with a heavy sigh. How was France, darling? Fine, I said, pulling out the chocolate I'd bought. Fiona snapped her boxes up instantly, her green eyes gleaming with a manic glint. We have arrived, Sophia. We have done it. Having fancy chocolate counts as having made it? I asked. You have your dreams. I have mine. Thanks, Ollie said, that gluttonous spark I'd seen in the mirror shining in his hazel eyes. Would he be able to hold off eating that stuff long enough to cook with it? No problem. What's going on with you guys? I trailed off, noticing the dirty looks from the other side of the table. You didn't ask. You didn't offer. Adrian sniffed. Simeon nodded. Very rude. Like you don't have someone who flies over to pick that stuff up for you, I told him, making a note to thank Adam for that bit of info. That's beside the point. Ollie's parents called earlier, Fiona said. Since she had what she wanted, she saw no point in terrorizing me. Apparently, there's been a lot of earthquakes near their home. Ollie's parents lived in Goliki, a magical village in Croatia located near Plitvice Lakes National Park. His father was a fan of Fireborns and knew a few things about them, which was how Ollie had discovered my secret. So I'd taken to paying attention when they called. Are they okay? I asked, making sure to keep Adrian and Simeon's displeased faces out of my line of sight. Yeah, Ollie said. I was worried at first, but they don't seem too concerned. My dad says it's the dragons. There was a secret, magical section of Plitvice Lakes National Park. A dragon sanctuary, declared as such when Maidas discovered it and were immediately attacked by dragons. The council declared the land a no-person zone and left it to the dragons. Smart move, considering they'd been hidden there long before those mages accidentally stumbled upon it. I hope he doesn't visit in person to make sure, Adrian said. My mom won't let him until next month, he said. He has to help her decorate for the holidays. I was about to ask if he was planning on returning home for Christmas when Damien Pierce entered. Like Adam, he had very pretty eyes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?